It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number two, Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back here from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're going to circle back to Julian Fleming and the implications of that in just a little bit. We went through his whole commitment to Ohio State in the previous segment. If you missed it, you can check it out. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Keystone Sports app. Keystone Sports Network on Spotify as well. For now, we're going to get into some of the other smaller pieces of news coming from the past few days just to bring you current on things, starting with the most recent on Sunday. Jordan Stout, kicker from Virginia Tech, announces his commitment to transfer to Penn State. I would say, Greg, that he is a likely kickoff specialist and can bring some stability to that part of Penn State's game. Was very successful in that one particular prong of kicking. And you know, James Franklin has said a bunch that he would prefer to break those duties up and not have one guy doing the place kicking and the kickoffs. I guess, don't grasp all the ins and the outs of, you know, for I'm trying to get past the, you know, the caveman thinking of mine that says, okay, you line up and you kick a ball.
Right, yeah.
Well, what's the difference? But I know that there's different responsibilities and different training and all that stuff. So I think this could work out in an ideal way where Jordan Stout is your kickoff guy, Jake Pinniger is your place kicker. However, I think there's a little bit more heat on Jake Pinniger to continue his development and take it to another level. You saw in whatever context you can glean from the blue-white game, you know, it looked like a kid who was pretty confident in his abilities and was kicking the ball a little bit better than we saw certainly in the first half of his true freshman season. I think he's going to be ready to really cement his status as the guy there. But Jordan Stout arriving certainly it makes things more interesting on that front.
Yeah, and he told 247 Sports that, you know, he plans to compete for the starting job, and that's not just kicker. They said he could, you know, that's just not just kickoff specialist. He can try out at field goal kicker and at punter, and, you know, I mean, Blake Gilligan's going to be their guy there. Blake Gilligan welcomed him to Penn State on social media with open arms, so if you're worried about that, I guess you could say, don't be. So, you know, I think Penn State goes out and gets the guy here. Joe Lorig clearly saw a deficiency. And Penn State, you know, was kicking the ball. If they can just get a guy that doesn't kick it out of bounds three times a game, I think that'd be helpful. I know that's probably too many times because it was like three times all year, but it's too many no matter what. Right. So if you can get a guy that's good in that area, and who knows, maybe he's a little bit longer consistently than Jake Pinniger, and maybe use Pinniger inside of 40, maybe use this stout kid outside of 40, and you combine your tag team kick and field goal duties, that'll be an option too. So yeah, the whole thing of having one guy do one thing is maybe a little bit of an eye roll to some people who think that, like you said, the guy's just lining up and kicking a ball. Why is it that big of a deal? But if James Franklin thinks it's going to help his team be better on special teams, and you know Joe Lorig is going to push his message one way or the other, then I think you have to accept it and take it for what it is. And clearly Penn State wanted the guy that could be more consistent, and they went out and found him.
And what are your thoughts? You know, when they, you know, they've brought in a number of scholarship specialist type players, and these are guys who can't make an impact anywhere else. You know, they have their jobs, and I know James Franklin has talked about the risk of giving a scholarship to a guy who can't help you in any other way. So if you're a kicker and you you get a scholarship, and they find out you can't kick, then what? Then what? What are your thoughts just on the idea of using, you know, at least three scholarships on these specialist positions now, assuming Stout is a scholarship guy? So Stout, Pinniger, and Gilligan, and the continuation of giving those scholarships, because, you know, a lot of programs, I think, are able to do that without handing out that many scholarships. Is that any kind of issue? Am I overthinking that?
I think you're overthinking it, only in the sense that guys continue to go into the NCAA transfer portal, and you're never going to have 85 few, if any, teams will ever play another season with 85 scholarship players, which, of course, is the limit by NCAA rule. So if you think using a scholarship that is just going to otherwise sit there will help you get a guy who can help you, you know, if even if he's worth just a point or two, if you think he's worth it enough to change your team for the better, I mean, you know, we've seen Penn State take guys that are fringe guys that maybe are iffy for a scholarship to Penn State late in the recruiting process. If you think that a kicker's in that same boat or a punter, then go ahead and do it. You know, again, with so many guys now willing to transfer, and I don't know if we'll ever see Penn State lose, 13, 14, 15 guys to the portal like it did this past season. But, again, you're going to lose guys every single offseason, so you're always going to have scholarships available. And if you think that you can go out and get a kicker who's going to change the game for you in some way, shape, or form, go ahead and do it. Because if we've seen anything over the last handful of years, it's that that's one guy that can change the game for you, whether it's an athletic guy like Blake Gillikin running down that punt against Ohio State for a safety and not a touchdown a couple years ago, or whether it's a guy like Jake Pinniger who, yeah, he was hot and cold, but when he was good, you know, he looked exactly like the guy Penn State wanted. So if you're going to have the scholarship sitting there and you think you can attract a better level of specialist by using one on him, then you might as well.
Well, that's where Penn State's at, and I think it's to increase the competition in that room. Just by its nature, it's hard to really pose a threat to your starters at those spots. So now he's going to come in and just force those guys to, you know, re-earn their job, so to speak, which is what, you know, any good program is going to want. The new kickoff times that came out late last week, five of them, Pitt and Purdue at noon, Idaho 3:30, Maryland and Buffalo are both primetime kicks. What were your thoughts specifically on Buffalo being a primetime kick? It feels like Georgia State all over again. But it all goes into, you know, what Fox is doing with their kickoff time. They're prioritizing that noon slot, and they're going to be bumping games like this one to later in the day.
Yeah, so they've kind of come to grips with the fact of, hey, look, the SEC on CBS and ABC's Saturday Night Game of the Week are always going to be the top games of the week. So the question then becomes, are you going to try and compete with them to almost always be third fiddle unless you get some can't miss game, and your game just happens to be not only can't miss but better than the other two in terms of competitiveness on game day? You might as well try something different. They're going to throw their best game in the noon slot and say, hey, college football fans, you're used to seeing some slogs at this hour, some non-competitive blowouts, 9 times out of 10. How about you come to us and watch the best game in that time slot and maybe on the weekend? So that definitely played a role in Penn State getting a night game against Buffalo, which I think was really the only shock of that. So the Purdue homecoming game at noon was not a surprise. A little bit surprised to see Pittsburgh Penn State played at noon. I thought we were thinking 3:30, if not prime time for that. That said, I'm sure there were a lot of interested parties in that game, be it stadium officials, local law enforcement, Penn State athletic department, that pushed for that game to be early to maybe curb the enthusiasm, if you will, in the parking lot. So I think there's probably a lot of people bummed about that, but I can understand it from a logistics standpoint why that game would be at noon. And it could also be a shot across the bow from ABC saying, okay, well, you want to put your best game at noon, Fox? We're going to put one of our biggest, you know, fan base audiences at noon and this, you know, rivalry game, I guess you could say, and see how things shake out. So that came off as a little bit of a surprise. Other than that, I was glad Maryland, Penn State was at 8 and not 9, because you just never know what Fox is going to do with that primetime Friday night game. Remember last year at Illinois, I know there's a time difference, but it kicked off there, at, you know, kicked off at what, 9:15 Eastern time, that Friday night game, which stunk. But other than that, everything was pretty much par for the course. You know, the 3:30 opener has pretty much become the norm at this point. And I think that everything made as much, you know, logical sense as kick times can in May.
So Idaho 3:30, season opener. Should remind you, go PSURV.com for that game and for the second game of the year against Buffalo, which we also learned that kickoff time. They're running a special through the month of June. You buy an RV for one of those games, you get a second one free for the same game. You can invite more friends and more family for twice the fun. And to go with that, You can get a free 409 tailgate club meal for everyone in your party. As I mentioned, the deal is good through the end of June. So as the calendar flips and we're really starting to look ahead at these kickoff times, things are getting a little bit more real when it comes to looking at the 2019 season. You're especially running out of time for Father's Day coming up in a couple weeks. GoPSURV.com is the place where you can reach out to Mark directly, 1-800-519-8467 to learn about this special deal and what they got going for the entire 2019 season. Greg, I thought this was an interesting question. The website Pittsburgh Sports Now posed it after they learned the kickoff time for Penn State Pitt. Do you care if Penn State plays Pitt again? And I think it was a pretty close to a 50-50 split, yes versus no. And I think it's interesting, depending on who you ask, but I think you've seen sentiment even from Penn State fans as they've seen the position that Penn State has taken towards not caring about renewing this rivalry series. They don't really seem to care either, but I'm just not on board with that. I want to see them play every year personally. I if you look at, you know, the last time they were at Beaver Stadium and the energy that was in the crowd, that was a little different because Pitt had beat them in year one of this matchup. But if you want to talk about the ingredients of a rivalry, number one, obviously a competitive nature of it. If Penn State wins this one going away and is a pretty clean 3 out of 4 against Pitt, you can probably say this might not be, you know, ever a series that's super competitive year in and year out. But if you want to talk about the feelings, the hard feelings and the, you know, the pure hatred of it, those are the main ingredients, I think, of a rivalry. And I think Penn State Pitt has them. I understand the business sense of it. It doesn't maybe make a lot of sense for Penn State to do that when they're starting to book, you know, a few years out, higher profile opponents. But I personally just am on the record saying that if I were answering that poll question, I did not actually answer it, I would have said, yes, I do care.
I'm so hit or miss on it. Like, I think I care in the sense that watching Penn State Pitt has almost always been more entertaining than watching Penn State versus some, you know, also ran MAC schools. Sorry, MAC schools. And I know Appalachian State gave Penn State a game last year, and they're also not into MAC. But from that perspective, I think it's always more fun to watch a Power 5 team than anything else. But Penn State's scheduled a Power 5 team for each of the next however many years. You know, I think they're out to like 2025 or 2026 now with a Power 5
The absurdity
opponent.
Of all that.
It's so just, agitating. Yeah. You know, and you get you pop up on Twitter, Penn State has added, you know, a game with, you know, some random school in 2028. It's like
they should start putting it in terms of Penn State has, not just saying Penn State, but Penn right. State has scheduled Virginia Tech 3 head coaches from now.
Right.
They'll
yeah.
play.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a little bit nuts, but I understand why it's done. But yeah, they have Power 5 teams on the schedule. I really don't care. I understand that for some it's a sentimental thing, but when they had that long gap between last series and this current one that's about to finish up this year, I think that really just wiped out a lot of what this series meant to a lot of different people.
It's based on history and Penn State, I understand if they don't want to do a home and home with a team like this. So we are we're going to circle back in just a moment to Julian Fleming and, you know, what it takes to land a kid like this and what it means to when you don't land a kid like this, coming up right after this break.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.